Yeah, it's good to see everyone out this morning. We do have some that are visiting with us. Again, we want to welcome you and invite you back at every opportunity you have to come and worship with us. Brother Austin read for us this morning from Luke chapter 14, verse 16 down to verse 24. And I've had the question, as always, you know, whether it's members here or even if it's someone off the street. Preacher man, do you have an Easter sermon ready? Yes, I do. It's not your regular Easter sermon, though. I guess since I have a sermon and it's Easter Sunday, I have an Easter sermon. That's how I look at it. And this morning also is the 1st of April, and it's another day that some people like to call April Fool's Day. People like to try to do different types of pranks or different types of things, jokes, whatever it might be. And this morning, kind of looking at this, I want to kind of go along a different route this morning in looking at April Foolish excuses. And Austin read for us from Luke chapter 14, verse 16 down to verse 24. Well, we got three cases of individuals that were making an excuse. Have you ever had a honey-do list before? Husbands, I'm talking to you, in this, because I'm looking at this. I have a honey-do list. Whether it's trying to do stuff around the house, repair a ceiling, not looking at anybody there, repair a car, do whatever it might be. You know, right now, at our house, the girls are working on building a garden. So we're trying to plant seeds, trying to get them started, build some raised garden boxes, and just trying to go through all that. Corrigan is getting ready to start baseball, so we're trying to go through some of that stuff of trying to get kind of knock the rust off. Around the house, you know, we've been in there for just about seven months now. They've still got lists. Got to do this, got to do that. We'll have our different lists, but then there are times when you get that list and you just, you know, again, Justina, make up a list. Here's what I'd like you to do this week. Start making the faces, start doing all this stuff. And then when she comes home, she says, well, did you get the list done? Well, let me tell you what was going on today. Well, I didn't have time to do this. I didn't have time to... But then we offer, and I'm guilty of it. I imagine we've all been guilty. Tomorrow, I will take care of all that stuff, honey. The same mentality sometimes is displayed in obedience to God. God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has invited us into His kingdom. We have it right here in our fingertips of this parable that Jesus taught us and said that here's what part of the parable is. Here's what it is. I am inviting all people to come into the kingdom. Again, he's using a feast. I'm going to invite people that should answer the invitation call. That should come, whether they should or not. You know, these people will come. But then we see a different story. The invitation, as we look at this, of being part of God's kingdom could leave us. It could go to someone else. And we could be left on the outside looking in as we look at this parable. I want to look at this just for a little bit of time this morning as we're allowed to be able to look at these different excuses. Again, kind of going along with the other quote-unquote holiday that we have this morning. And I want you to begin off thinking with me that Jesus is inviting all. He is inviting us all to be part of His kingdom. We look over and just keep your thumb marked here in Luke or your page marker. We're going to come back here off and on throughout the lesson this morning. But look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, let's look at verses 28 down to verse 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 down to verse 30. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is wanting us to come to him. You know, as we look at that invitation that Jesus offered, he also charged his apostles, his disciples, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 16. He says in verse 15, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus, again, kind of combining both. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to verse 30, come to me. Then he goes and tells the disciples, go preach the gospel. Go preach to others to come to me. To come and obey me. If we look at verse 16 of Mark 16, he goes on to say, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. So Jesus is inviting us all to come, telling the disciples, telling his followers, go preach the gospel message. There was no one that could be left out when Jesus told the apostles here and the disciples of Mark 16, go preach to all, to everyone, because all can be part of the kingdom of God. All can receive the message of the gospel. All can receive the rest that Jesus offers. Again, his invitation. He is inviting all to know him, to obey him. For those that have not yet known Jesus, for those that have not yet obeyed God's will, the invitation is open for you. And Jesus said the invitation is open for all. We look at what Jesus came. You know, he told the apostles to go preach the gospel. And as we look, Jesus in the beginning of his ministry was preaching about the kingdom. And in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. We look at that message. We look at what Jesus said there. As he was trying to get others to be part of it, he was inviting others to be part of the kingdom of God. He said in Mark chapter 1 verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He says to repent and believe in the gospel. Because we look at what Jesus came to do. He pointed out there was a need to be part of his kingdom. To be part of his kingdom, there were conditions that needed to be met. Again, as we were talking last week a little bit about repentance with the parable of the two sons, we see it again here. Where Jesus said to be part of it, you need to change your life. And believe. Or in obey. Change your life. Look at this. Verse 15 says, change your life. Repent. And obey or believe in the gospel message. Again, this the invitation of the Lord has been offered to all. But as Jesus offered that invitation to be part of his kingdom, individuals that should have answered the gospel call, people that should have answered the invitation of the Master there in Luke chapter 14, they decided that there was other things that they wanted to do. We go back there in Luke chapter 14. We read about the different excuses. It says in verse 18, they all with one accord began to make excuses. We look at the first one. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of ground. Now I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. We think about this. That first one, this kind of categorizing it. We say he had property. Kind of put it into personal application as well today. Property. I've got a piece of land. Now I want to ask a question. You know, as we kind of look at this first excuse. This guy said, I got a piece of property, I got a piece of land, I need to go see. Would that property be there tomorrow? You know, we're talking about making an excuse for tomorrow. Here's the Lord's invitation being offered. And, well, you know, maybe tomorrow might work in this instance. Maybe I can go there after this supper, after this invitation has been offered to me, I can go look at that tomorrow and go to this supper first. When one buys a piece of ground, what happens? Sometimes we become preoccupied with it, using our time and attention. I think a lot of us property owners, I'm just going through the whole phases of it once again. I look out there at my place that we bought back in August. And, well, I could do this, I can do that. You know, we're in the process of going to be fencing in part of the yard so we can let the dogs out and let them not have one of them run away. But we start looking at different things. You know, I got a mower last year. Well, got to go mow the grass. It takes, you know, an hour or two to be able to kind of get everything. Then I got to get the weed eater out and do all this stuff. Well, then I'm looking at this. Well, what can I do? What can I do to kind of make things a little bit more to my personal taste or to Justina's personal taste? Well, then, you know, I start trying to add up and try to do all these different types of projects. And sometimes it can take me so far away that I lose focus on other things. What are we going to do with it? You know, for instance, for those that are real estate agents sometimes, you know, I'm going to buy a piece of ground. Just say, just for instance, got a whole new piece of ground. Well, I can put a house on it. I can put a property on it. Maybe I can commercialize it, put like a little strip mall and be able to make some money off of it. Maybe I could plant some crops. I could do all these different types of things. Or maybe I could just try to buy that piece of ground that I can flip it, make some money off of it. And you know, we start losing our focus. We start focusing on it so much. And what happens is that our actions are not set on things above. Go over to Colossians chapter 3 with me. And in Colossians chapter 3, let's consider verses 1 down to verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 down to verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 down to verse 4. It says, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." When we become so preoccupied, so focused, we set our mind on things here on the earth, and we forget about things above, where Christ is, where Christ went and prepared a place for us to be with Him. You can look at some of the patriarchs of the Old Testament mentioned over in Hebrews chapter 11. We see how these individuals, they had followed God. They showed their obedience, their dedication to God. And we see where their mind was, where their focus was. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 10 down to verse 13. Speaking, we start off with Abraham there mentioned in verse 10. It says, "For Abraham waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." It says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, they embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're to set our mind on the place we can dwell with God eternally. That's what Abraham focused on. That's what Sarah focused on. We see what they went through in their life. They continued to go back and turn to God. Is there a focus on that place that they could rest with eternally with God? But with this person, what he asked was, Please have me excused on behalf of my piece of property. You got this next one. The yoke of oxen. Again, kind of just generally categorizing it. We can talk, kind of fill in with activities. The same question applies to the one with the property. Would the oxen be there tomorrow? I need to go test out the. I got to go do it right now. We're going to see if they work. See if I got to make any repairs. Tend to any type of concerns. We kind of modernize it just a little bit. Let's talk about a car. We were picking on John earlier. I've seen some of the work that John does at the shop. Sometimes I come unannounced and he always gives me a hard time, but I still come unannounced. But have you ever wanted to work on a car? Or rebuild a car? I remember to this day, I was 16 years old and I have a Dodge Ram, as many of you know. I wanted to rebuild one with my dad. That was what my dream was to do, was work on that. And that, you know how much time and effort that's going to take, and you're trying to get a job. You're not going to have time to be able to work and work on this car. It's going to take money. You know, he said, I'm not going to shell out the money to be able to fix up a truck for you. We can buy one and you can make payments on it. You know, he was trying to give me an understanding of what the big picture, how much it was to be able to put into a truck or a car. What happens when you do that? I've had friends of mine, seen other people work on, do this, and it's a year upon year upon year project. Well, you know, maybe next year it'll be up and running. I'll have, you know, whatever type of car you have. It takes a lot of time to take on and do such things. It's easy to be constantly working, consuming all of our time and energy. You know, we can understand that as adults. But then sometimes as well, we do the same thing to our children. There was a commercial that came out a few years ago. I look at people. People have a lot of stuff on their schedules with their kids. I think about, there was a couple years ago where Corrigan, Ophelia, and Emily's were all wanting to play sports. And all at the same time. And they were all in different age groups. Corey wanted to play baseball, and Ophelia and Emma wanted to play soccer. They all played at different times. Sometimes all three of them in the same. And I'm sitting there, how can you do this? Well, then I started kind of seeing the effects of it, where, you know, they had school. Then they'd go to practice or to a game. I thought, boy, that was just a lot. And then they come home and try to do some play, you know, hang around the house or do some homework or whatever it was if it was during the school year. Now see how worn out they get. Then I see on the, you know, this commercial I was mentioning that came out a few years ago. We see where here's a kid's calendar, and they've got some. As soon as school got out at 3 o'clock, from 3:15 to 4:15, you got this. From 4:30 to 5, you got this. And he kept on going. And the kid looked like he was just worn out. I said, boy, a kid needs a lot of energy. And we do that to our kids. Kind of like the same situation with, we want to occupy all their time and energy in doing different types of activities. I'm not trying to say that that is wrong. But what happens is that we forget about God. That's where we see some of the concern, is that we forget about God. We're to focus on God's kingdom first. All these other things that we do, they will, you know, we can be able to put all these things ahead. We put God first, and all these other things kind of fall in line with everything. Over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, one of the things growing up, my parents did it with me, and I'm doing it with my kids. You know, we want to play. I played baseball, basketball, soccer. Mom was too scared for me to play football. She was worried I was going to get hurt. And I think my dad said, I was worried you were going to hurt everybody else. And
We would play. So I played all the different types of sports. I tried wrestling as well one year. It's all these different things. And one of the things that happened, not all the time, one of my coaches finally kind of got an understanding of it. But there are times where a baseball game, in particular, most likely, was on a Wednesday night. We didn't play very much on Sunday. We'd play on a Wednesday night. And my dad, when I started playing baseball, he said, "Son," he said, "you can play baseball. But if you try to go and complain on a Wednesday night," I said, "you know, your game's at 6, church is at 7:30, 7 o'clock, 6:55, we got to go. I don't care," he said, "I don't care if you're out in the outfield. I don't care about these situations. When I say it's time to go, it's time to go." Now, he told me, he said, "If you complain, if you whine, if you cry, we just won't play." And then the other word after it said, "You'll understand it as you get older." And I did. And now I'm doing the same thing with my kids. Morgan, if you're going to start baseball this year, we go over the same rules every year. It's okay. Baseball starting. If you're going to be playing, here's what it's going to be. Because we have a responsibility, and my parents are trying to help me understand it, we have a responsibility to putting God first. And that's what Jesus was getting at here in Matthew 6, verse 33. That we're to focus on God and His kingdom first. There was so much concern about food and water and shelter and all these different things. So you seek God's kingdom, and all these other things will fall in line. You know, when we talk about our activities, whether it's for adults or for children, we've got to be able to put our priorities first. Where does it fall? Where does God fit in the picture in all this? But as we look at the second individual that was invited to the supper, again, he said, "Please have me excused." How about the family and home life? Kind of look at that third man. He said, "I have a wife." So we look there in Luke chapter 18 and looking at verse 20, another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot die." The most legitimate, I'm using this very loosely, the most legitimate reason out of all three of the different individuals in this parable was this one right here. They were allowed a certain amount of time when they were married to be able to spend time with their family in the first year or so. But as we look at this, kind of comparing it, to neglect the Lord's work and saying, "I have a family, I'm trying to use this as a reason," is where we see the problem comes into play. Where does God fit in? Again, I want to ask that question. If you look over in Matthew chapter 10 and verses 37 down to verse 39 with me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 down to verse 39. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 down to verse 39. Talk about our family and home life. Again, Jesus says here, he says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." You know, I can speak for myself. I think I can speak for pretty much all of us here. We love our families. You know, some people, well, you read a verse, and some people, "Oh, you love your family." I know, I love my family. I love my children. I love my wife. I love my parents, I love my sister, I love my nieces and nephew. I love all of them. But also with this, I stress that I do love the Lord.
There's a dividing up of all this. Our love that we have for one another, our love for our family, does it create a hindrance in our obedience to God? My work and my focus needs to be on doing God's will. I'm to love God, as we read in Matthew 22, verse 37, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my... You know, I'm supposed to love God with everything. I'm supposed to give God everything. And that love that I have for God, then kind of... Okay, I love God and I love my wife. And we see we're both intertwined together. I love God and I love my children. I love my parents. I love all the rest of my family. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love everyone. But it ties in with my love that I have for God. We're to give Him our first. In each of these different excuses, the foolish excuses that they made, they had other priorities. They put God kind of down the list. Again, as we look, Jesus has offered this invitation. He is inviting all to come. So what does that say about you and I? Jesus has made and instituted this invitation for us to be able to be part of His kingdom. And we have opportunity to be part of that now. Or to remain part of God's kingdom. The people in this parable were ones that the Master thought He could count on coming to this invite. The Master thought these people should come. But when they didn't, He went to others. He told that servant, go. Y'all people, officer, you know, go and tell others to come and taste my supper. That was the, you know, the message. The servant said, it's all done, but there's still room. Go even further out. Invite all people. Go out past the city and bring them in that they may be able to taste my supper. Because these individuals that made excuses, they will not taste my supper. The invitation could be taken from me. If I do not obey, or I do not remain faithful, I can lose part, and my part in the kingdom of God. So what will we do? You can make an excuse. Some people will say, oh, I don't have time. Don't have enough time. You know, as we look at that, there's been 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, I know that our time frame has, you know, some people, we look at the calendars from looking at where it was back then, but still, it's the same. The sun goes up and goes down in a certain amount of time each day. We just got to be better managers of that time. Or maybe some will say, I've got other things going on in my life. Lord, I cannot answer the invitation. I cannot be part of Your kingdom right now. We can make an excuse, say, well, maybe I'll obey once I retire from my job. My job kind of preoccupies me. Or maybe when I'm older, I'll obey. Maybe I don't believe. Talking about foolish excuses. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I don't believe it. You know, some people say, I don't believe in God. Well, that's an excuse. If we do make an excuse, we are putting our soul in jeopardy. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, look if you would there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. Hebrew author writes, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. What are we going to do? If we decide to make excuses, we are refusing what the Lord is. If we say, I've got other reasons to not obey or remain faithful to God, we're making a foolish excuse, and we are putting our soul in jeopardy because we have refused Him who is speaking to us. The alternative we'll look at, here's our choice. We've got to make an excuse, or we can follow and we can obey. We can have a mindset that says, I will go.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We are to present our ways, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We can be able to go and do the Father's will. Here's what we can be able to do. This is our choice. The alternative that we can go. We can have a mindset over in Isaiah 6, verse 8. Lord, here I am. Send me. I'm ready to do your will. Send me where you want to go. We can say, I'm ready. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, we are to be ready. We're to give a defense to those that ask us with meekness and fear. We have responsibility. The alternative in our life is either make and choose, or we can be able to obey and follow God. Having that mindset of, I will go. Send me. I'm ready to go and do the Father's will. You have the opportunity to be able to answer that now. Have you been faithful to God? Have you fallen away from God? Do you need to have your life right with God? Do you need to make your life right with God by having your sins washed in the waters of baptism? Or do you need to have your soul restored? You are a Christian, but you've not been faithful to God. Time is now to no longer make an excuse, but to go and do the Father's will. The invitation of the Lord is still open. If you're here this morning and you've not yet answered the invitation call, the Lord is inviting us all to come. To come to Him. To obey Him. And if you're ready, we'll be glad to help you. We'll be glad to encourage you. We've got to do what we can in answering that invitation call. So George has selected the invitation song, Jesus is Calling. I think it's a very fitting song. Jesus is calling us today to come to Him, to answer His Father's will. And if we can help you, if we can pray for you, if we can assist you, if we can do whatever it may be, you're ready to make your life right with God, we'll be glad to help you. All you have to do this morning is let me know how we can assist you. You can have a seat on the front, and you can do it now, all together, while we stand and while we sing.
Calling me home, calling me home.